I want to talk to you tonight about something I mentioned in the offering and how the Lord dealt with me about the daycare. And I believe he wasn't just talking about the daycare, but he wanted to reassure me about the daycare, that we would come out ahead, in this situation. You know, because, and that's exactly what's happening. Not because we're not taking advantage, you know, when people are struggling, taking advantage of them. We don't do that. In fact, we're giving people, there's several things we've been doing in the daycare to bless people. It's really been fun. One is just helping parents that haven't been able to fully keep their children in and, you know, doing some things for them financially. We've been actually sowing seed to the daycare, sowing seed to people that are in need. We've been sowing seed to employees that needed time out, and they, we were able to bless them financially. And so just a lot's been happening. So that's the way Pastor Debbie and I roll. You hit us, and you're going to find us sowing seed. We don't back down. We just press in. And so I want to talk to you because an area that this epidemic, you want to call it, pandemic, people are calling it. We used the word pestilence in one of the teachings that we did because that's a word in the Bible. Also translated plagues. One of the things that is coming out of this is many, by decree really, many businesses being closed. People being laid off, even the business is being laid closed temporarily or permanently, whatever, and people aren't working. And there's a lot of economic stuff, you know, starting to hit people. And so I want to address that tonight. I want you to be built. God wants your faith to be built up so that you're not you're not caught unprepared. Now, I'll qualify that, and I want you to look here with me in the 7th chapter of Matthew, verse number 24. It says, tell you a story of something that happened in my life, and I don't have the date. I would say it was probably 5 years ago or so, maybe. I don't really know why the Lord spoke it to me at the time he spoke it to me, other than what he said might give some indication for it. And here's what he said about 5 years ago. I just minded my own business in prayer one day, not thinking about the end of my life, how things were going to go or anything like that. But just, you know, like Norval Hayes said, minding my own business in prayer, talking to the Lord, just worship and fellowship with him. And he said something to me. He said, he started out his statement like this. Now, he said, you've gotten the word in you. And he said, the end of your life is going to be different than it would have been. I instantly on the inside knew what he was talking about. He was talking about my physical body and my health. I knew that. I knew what he was talking about. You know, whenever the Lord speaks, a lot of times you know exactly what he's referring to specifically. If you don't, you can ask him and he'll tell you. But he said, you've gotten the word in you. Listen to that statement. You've gotten the word in you. And he said, the end of your life is going to be different than it would have been. Listen to that. Think about that. The end of your life is going to be different than it would have been. In other words, my future, listen very carefully, was altered because of what I have been doing with the word in my past. Now pay close attention to me tonight because you're going to get some things. In other words, if I could say it this way, my end was not being determined by God. How my end turned out was not up to God. It was up to me. And more specifically, up to what I was going to do and in this case had done with the word. You understand? He said, now you've gotten the word in you. Now, that's a past, that's a truth that we have to understand is found quite often in the Bible, in the Old and New Testament, that we're supposed to plant the Word of God in our hearts and really our minds. And so the Word of God, it says in Colossians, for example, Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you, now listen to this, richly. Richly. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. I'm not going to talk about healing tonight, although the Lord in the case that I just referred to was talking to me about my physical body and the healing of my body. In other words, rather than me dying sickly, prematurely, sickly, and with disease and so forth, he was saying my end was going to be different physically in the way I age and the way I die. If Jesus tarries, he's coming. Now you realize he's coming. So that could be different altogether. But the point I'm making is that he was saying that to me in the area of healing. That's true in the area of healing. But it's also true that if we do the right thing with the Word in every area of life, what the devil has planned for our future will not work. You understand what I'm talking about? Satan has a plan for your future. God has a plan for your future. Whether you decide to do the right thing with the Word or not determines whether Satan's future or God's future is what you have or what I have. Amen. Now, that's true about our finances. How people are going to come out of this situation in our nation right now, whether it be physically or economically. Listen to me very carefully. People say, we don't know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen in my life. I know, because I got the Word of God on it. And I'm going to share it with you tonight. But see, how we come through this has everything to do with what we've been doing with the Word up until this point. Amen. Now, let the Word of Christ, Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Think about that. Richly. What does that mean? Richly is something that tells us we're to do it in a rich degree, or get the Word in us in a rich degree. Now, if something can be in you and I richly, it can be the Word I'm talking about. It can be in us sparsely or small. Or limitedly. You understand? And the degree that the Word is in us determines the degree of fruit that we bear in times like we're going through right now. Can I get an amen out there? It's not up to God. God's not picking and choosing, saying, well, this person, they're not going to make it, but I'm going to do something special for this person. And, you know, I looked over the banister of heaven, and I saw that good-looking, preacher down there in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Thank you. I appreciate the encouragement. But I'm going to do something special for him because I just kind of like him. No, I am not. I don't get any preferential treatment. Because I'm a minister. I have to be a doer of His Word just like everybody else has to be a doer of His Word. I got to get the Word in me like everybody else has got to get the Word in them. And God is no respecter of persons. But He does respect faith. And any person can have faith. Are you listening to me? And whenever we get the Word in us, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. And when we get the Word, we sit under the Word week after week, two services a week, and then we listen to it on our way to work and on our way home from work, or when we get home, and we meditate on it when we get any time we get a chance. And we're getting that. See what that is? We're planting that Word. We're getting the Word in us. The way we get the Word in us is meditate on it, hear it, listen to it, attend to it. Proverbs 4, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my saying. Ear, attention, let them not depart from thine eyes. That's looking at it, keep them in the midst of your heart. And when we do that, we meditate on the Word, it gets on the inside of us. And it doesn't happen by osmosis. You can't put the Bible under a pillow and it just jumps into you at night. You got to think on it. Meditation is how you get it into you. Somebody said, get in the Word and the Word will get into you. Amen. And we're told to let it dwell in us richly. Amen. Now, so whenever we do that, we'll do that to the degree that we believe it'll make changes in our outcome. in our lives. If you don't believe it'll do you any good, then you won't do that. You won't get the word in you. You won't have time for it. I don't have time. Well, you got time for what's important. I have time for what's important. And so whenever we see the value and what it will do for us, even in the area of prosperity, for example, Isaiah 55, verse number 11 says, so shall my word be. He says, he's talking about like the rain comes out and waters the earth, causes it to bring forth and bud. He said, my word will be like that. It'll not return unto me void. It will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. I always put those together. Accomplish prosperity. It will accomplish prosperity. If you don't believe it will accomplish anything, then you won't make sure and get it planted, and you won't get it watered, and you won't get it in you, and you won't renew your mind to it, you won't practice it, you won't think about it until Sunday service comes and pastor brings it up again. Am I preaching all right? And so whenever we feed on the word and get it on the inside of us, we do that only because we love it. We know what it'll do for us. We know that it has power in itself inherently to cause itself to come to pass. And it'll give you the ability to do things you can't do on your own. I was trying for years to prosper on my own, doing it my own way. And one day the Lord said, your way isn't working, is it? And I said, Lord, it's not. And he said, well, the way prosperity begins is getting my word in your... When my word finds a home in your heart, that's how prosperity begins. And I went into an intense meditation of the word concerning prosperity, and I've been going up ever since. Even in the midst of recessions, what the world has called in our nation a recession. Those have always been years of increase. It's totally independent, weaned completely off the economy, completely off of anything in the natural, and based on how much of the word I got in me, and how much I exercise faith in that word. And he said here in Colossians, let it dwell in you richly. That's a degree. There's a degree it needs to be in us. And so he says that degree is richly. Because here's some other scriptures along this line. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. My words abide in you. You'll ask what you will and it'll be done. Now when he said, God said to me, now the word, you've gotten the word in you. The end of your life is going to be different than it would have been. He was saying that it was not him that changed the end of my life. It was me. What I had done with the word. Now you realize I could quit right now doing what I'm doing with the word. But I know too much to quit now. He knew I wasn't going to quit now. I'm not going to stop acting on the word, practicing the word concerning my health. Amen. But and so it's not just automatic because everything I've done in the past, I can coast from now on. That's not what he's talking about. But what I've been doing with the word and will continue to do with the word, it was me that changed my outcome, not God. You understand that? Here he said in John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. There's a whole lot of you and me in there. And if ye, notice how he says it, if ye abide in me, that's you, and my words abide in you, and that's not up to God, that's up to us, so that's really us. Ye, three, shall ask what ye, four, will, and it shall be done unto you, five. Five yous in there. There's a whole lot of you in that verse. And what we and you and I do with the word determines how much fruit is born from that word. Remember over in John 15, I'm just going to give you some of these references. I think some of these are refreshers for some of us. But John 15 talks about the whole first 16 verses is the parable of the vine and the branches. You remember that. And so he said there's different, if you read that whole passage, you'll find five different levels of fruit. No fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and then fruit that remains. And he tells us how to go from one degree of fruit bearing to the next. He said that you'll bear more fruit. If any man brings forth fruit, then the Lord purges it that it might bring forth more fruit. And then he said, people read that and they say, that's it, the Lord's sending me through cancer to purge me. No, read the next verse. Read the next verse. The next verse said, now you are clean. Same Greek word translated purge is translated clean. Now you are clean, purged through cancer. No. Now you are clean through the word. Through the word. that I have spoken unto you. That's how he purges you. He purges your thinking with the word. He purges your believing with the word. And you believe right, and you think right, and you talk right, and you act right, and you do right, and then you get right. You get the right results. Amen. And so then he said in 1 John 2:14, he's writing to the young men. He said, I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong. Number one, strong. And the word of God abides in you. Number two, and you have overcome the wicked one. If you want to overcome in test and trial, in times of coronavirus, in times of economic shaking, he said, you're going to have to do it by being strong. And the way you're strong is the word getting into you. Amen. Remember the Bible said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How are you going to do that? In the Lord means in his word. And the power of his might means in the Holy Ghost. You have to stay full of the word and full of the Holy Ghost. You're no match for the devil empty. I'm no match for the devil empty. We're not a match for the devil on our own. It's whenever we bring that word to the devil and his circumstances. That's what makes him run, tuck his tail between his legs. Yite, yite, yite. Straight out of our lives. Are you listening to me tonight? That's because whenever we take that word, it's a sword of the Spirit. Shoo! And it cuts and it hurts. And he doesn't like that. He gets out of there. Amen. You're strong. The word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. If you're going to do that, you're going to have to be strong. Get the word in you. Then we know Matthew 12:34-35. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He said, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Notice that term, out of the abundance of the heart. Things get into us in or by degrees. A good man out of the good treasure brings forth. Treasure. Treasure means something in there in abundance. If I found one little nugget of gold, that's not a treasure. But if I find nuggets everywhere down there, it's a treasure. Amen. And so he said, get all these things into you. Now, listen there, he said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When things get into you in abundance, it starts coming out of you in abundance. Now, notice that term, out of you, out of the abundance of the heart. Things can get into you by degrees. Listen, I'm going to make a statement here. You need to catch this. If the things you don't want in your life are still there, it's because the word is not in you enough yet in that area to prevail. It has to grow in you until it's in you in abundance in order to prevail. That's Acts 19:20. So mightily grew the word and prevailed. Where did it grow? In their garden? No, in this garden, in the spirit of man. It got planted in the spirit of man and began to grow. Now, I'm going to get to something before we get too far here that's going to bless you. So just hang on. I know you know all these things. But see, it's not the knowing of it, it's the doing of it. Amen. Can you say amen? And so if something's still there and it hadn't been moving yet, just keep pouring it in and putting it in and building it on the inside of you until it starts prevailing. Can you say amen? And if something hasn't moved yet, the word's not in you yet enough to prevail. That might be tough for some of us, but that's the reality. I've seen it in my life. Don't misunderstand me. This is not just about you. I've been in places even in more recent time. I remember the Lord spoke to me just recently and said the reason that thing started coming on you is because you've been getting busy and haven't been feeding your spirit as much. And boy, you might sometimes you get challenged by that. Say, Lord, I got things to do. But he say, it's up to us. We can listen or just be hard-headed. Amen. Tell your neighbor he's preaching better than you're amening right now. All right. So thorny ground is ground in the parable of the sower's ground that the other things got into that soil and choked that word. You understand what I'm talking about. Cares of life, so forth and so on. And so in too many people's lives, the word had too much competition. It was trying to do its job and grow and begin to prevail, but it had too many interests for too many other things, and other things getting planted, cares of life getting planted, and choking out that word. You understand what I'm talking about? And so people desire for too many other things in life than the word to really get rooted. They have a desire for too many other things. And the parable of the parable of the sower is all about the condition of the soil. It's not about the sower sowing the word. He only mentions the sower once, but he mentions the soil over and over and over again. And so, here's what we need to know. The seed will do its mighty work if the soil is in the right condition. I've planted seed on my ranch. You know, we have land and we've got areas we plant things. And I've planted, there's some seeds I haven't been able to get to grow for a few years. Finally, one day I said, okay, I'm going to listen to the instructions on the bag. I know it's sad. You understand when it says it needs 4 hours of sunlight, that means it needs 4 hours of sunlight. So you better cut down some trees to give it some sunlight. Amen. I'm just being honest with you. But see, people try to do that with the word. Well, I know it says my son attend, but I you know, I'm busy and so forth and so on. Okay, hard-headed, go ahead and go through coronavirus and get it. I'm not predicting that. I'm not prophesying, and I'm not even wishing it on you. I'm just simply saying we open ourselves to things not turning out the way God intended they turn out because we don't yet do what the Bible says to have anything different. What does the Bible say to get something different? Get the word in you. Of course, you got to act on it. You understand that. But we're not emphasizing that as much as what the Lord said to me. All right? So he said that. Now, go back here to Matthew 7. Go to Matthew 7. And this passage, Jesus said to me, he said, now you've gotten the word in you. I'm going to apply this to where we are in our nation right now. But I want to just lay a foundation. He said to me concerning my health and the end of my life, how my life will end. He said I had gotten the word into me. He said the end of your life is going to be different than it would have been. Now, that principle is here in Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse 24. He said, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Amen. All right, look at the next verse, verse number 26. Everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not, circle not, because that's the only difference between the one in verse 24 and 25 and this person. Every man that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now look at verse 27. And the rains descended. Look at verse 25. And the rains descended. So it's the same storm. And the floods came. Look at verse 25. And the floods came. And the winds blew. Verse 27. Verse 25. And the winds blew. And verse 27, and beat upon that house, verse 25, and beat upon that house. Exact same storm. And then he said in verse 27, it ended, and it fell. And you look at verse number 25, and it fell not. So there's a not that's different in one verse, and a not that's different in another verse. The not doing the word was different how they responded to the word, and it fell not was different in the one that did the word. So you see where the knots are, and that's the only difference. It's because they did not do the word, hear the word and do the word. So you can't be a doer of the word if you don't hear it. If you don't hear it, take the time to hear it, meditate on it, get it on the inside of you, you can't be a doer of it. I mean, you're going to be doing what you think is best if you don't get your mind renewed. And that's always against the word. Rational thinking against the word. But he said, this man that did not do the word, the same storm came as the other house had come against it, but it fell. This man that didn't do the word fell, that house fell, and great was the fall of it. Now he likens this to two people building a house. He's like unto a man who built, this man that does the word, is like a man who built his house on the rock. He dug down, the Bible said, actually Luke's account said, he dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. So the other man just didn't take the time to put a foundation on something solid. He just went out and threw down some, you know, boards and started building on the sand. And the Bible tells us that the difference here is that one heard and didn't do. The other one heard and did. Isn't that right? Well, you're no better off not hearing the word. I mean, you're no better off hearing the word, excuse me, if you don't do it. You're no better off than the man that doesn't even hear it. In other words, he gets the same thing. And so we must take time to feed on the word, get it on the inside of us, and practice it. And what does that do? Okay, think about this very carefully. The situation that both of these houses were in, look at this very carefully. How things turned out for each house had nothing to do with when the storm came. It had to do with what the person did with the word before the storm came. The storm coming, the time when the storm comes is not a time to be out there trying to dig a foundation. You understand? And right now, this nation is in an economic and disease storm. It's storming out there. I mean, they say so. I'm hardly paying attention to it anymore. I decided to tune it out. I'm not joining the pandemic. You might say, how can you? You can't do that. I'm telling you how to do it tonight. I will not fall in any of these things because I'm built on something different than most people's lives are built upon. Now, you might say, well, you sound egotistical. You say you won't get it. What if the devil hears you? He's the very dude I'm saying it for. And he knows this word in me will deal with anything that he brings against me. He knows it. And he knows I know how to use that sword. And he knows I'll use it. And he knows it hurts. And so he's not going to play games with somebody who he knows, they know who they are. And they know what they have. And they got the word in them. Amen? So what the outcome of the house was has nothing to do. And I'm not bragging on myself. Listen to me very carefully. People hear that and they think that's egotistical. Well, no, I'm bragging on the word. I'm bragging on the word. If you can't brag on the word, what are you going to brag on? I'm bragging on God's faithfulness. I'm bragging that he said it, he'll do it. He's spoken and he'll bring it to pass. I've got this thing so planted into me that for me to go down, the word is going to have to go down. Do you understand me? Somebody saying, you mean you can't fail? Oh no, I can fail. But I trust the one in me to help me to make sure I don't fail. I trust him to guide me, and whenever I don't see something I need to see, he'll say, hey, over here, you need to pay attention to this. And I didn't start this yesterday or last 2 weeks ago whenever the pandemic came out. I've been doing this for 35 years. You understand me? And you don't pull up a 35-year-old planted tree very easily. That's what I'm talking about. Just like you don't blow a house over that's built on a foundation, you don't pull up a tree that's been rooted for 35 years. You ever tried to pull up even one that's gotten rooted down there for 5 years? I mean, those things get tight. Amen. Amen. I mean, it's time for the people of God to say the word works. The word doesn't fail. The word will hold me up. Amen. Now, what I'm here to tell you tonight is, I've been saying this in different ways, in different services, that the Lord told me to tell this congregation, because you've been in the Word, because you've been faithful, you've got what it takes to come out of this thing shining. In other words, doing better than you were doing before you went in. Because now you're doubling down on doing it. God didn't bring this to make you double down. But see, you got the disposition of the believer that has the word in him is when the going gets rough, he gets going. You know what I'm talking about? And whenever Satan opposes him, he leans in with that word. And he starts taking ground. Rather than just kind of doing it on the level just to get by, now you got to do it in order to really get through it. And that's what's on the inside of you. And you've got what it takes to shine. You've got what it takes to come out of this thing taking ground. Am I in the right room? Amen. Now, all the while, you've been sitting in the church, getting the word on the inside of you. Now, you can get it in you and not do it. You understand. But I'm talking to people who are doers of the word. Say amen. I was talking about you. So all the while you've been doing this, getting the word in you, God's been doing something for you. As you've been planting the word in you and believing and speaking it and acting on it, renewing your mind with it, building it into your lifestyle, he's been working on things. setting them in motion, so that how things turn out for you in this time in our nation, how things turn out for you in the midst of all this in our nation, will be different than it would have been if you had not been doing what you've been doing, sitting, feeding on the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. He's been working on things just for this time. The Lord spoke that. That's what I just read right there. The Lord spoke that, told me to tell you that. And he said this at the end of it. He said, believe it. You got what it takes. Don't be afraid of the coronavirus. Don't be afraid. We've already had one person they went to the doctor, so it wasn't that they didn't go to the doctor. But the doctor hadn't tested them for a coronavirus yet. But I the way things were going, and the people they had been around, they must have had it. And was completely healed last Wednesday night whenever the anointing went through the camera to heal the fever. Hallelujah! Yeah. They had what it took to lay hold of that. Are you out there? You should not be afraid. You got what it takes. You got what it takes to shine. Are you out there? Say amen. Hallelujah. All that foundation work that this man that built his house on the stone, on the rock, he couldn't do that in the storm. Listen, you haven't been waiting for storms like this to get the word in you. I mean, if people could be running to church right now, they would be. I think they're watching online. We're getting a lot more people watching online. But here's my point. My point is, you didn't wait until the storm. You got it in you ahead of time. And that makes all the difference in the day the storm comes. Amen. So a wise man, here in Matthew 7, is ready for whatever the devil throws at him. That preparation comes to him in the form of being schooled in the Word, listen, when they don't need it. I mean, need in, you know, quotes. People say, well, I don't really need that right now. Well, it's when you don't need it that the best time to store it up is. You understand? I remember watching a documentary. I like the outdoors, and I really don't watch much TV. In fact, we've just moved. We haven't even got a TV, you know, hooked up. Of course, there's no cable to hook it up. but we don't even plan to hook up a TV. You can get enough what you need on the internet, and you can pick and choose. You don't have to wade through all the other junk. But anyway, I like the outdoors, and I was watching this show. I forget what it was called. One of those Alaska shows, you know, where people live up in Alaska, way off the grid. And I don't know. I find myself watching things about off the grid. I'm not a what do you call those preppers or anything. I'm not that kind of thing. But I just like the outdoors. I like, you know, all that and how they survive out there in the outdoors. I like my conveniences, don't you? But right on the other hand, it's just fun watching them. And so, but the thing about this show I was watching, they had this family had actually a son and actually a mother and mother and dad had some children, and they married and they had houses in the area as well. And but so they were used to living through 8 months of winter up there in Alaska or something, and they knew how much prep time it took and how far ahead you had to prepare and get things planted early and have greenhouses to get it started early. I mean, they knew what they had to do, and they were doing it all. But I believe they had a cousin come up, and he wanted to start, you know, living like they were living, and they were telling him, all right, over here's where you can live, and so forth, but boy, get your garden started. And he was dilly-dally, and then, you know, he wasn't getting it done, and so he wasn't getting the harvest in on time. And they said, listen, it could snow 18 inches any one of these nights, and before you know it, your entire garden is under snow. You better, and that's exactly what happened. He got caught, he wasn't harvested, he didn't have the freezer's full. He didn't have the fish in the refrigerator or the freezer. He didn't, and they had to bail him out all winter long because he did not do what was necessary to be ready for what was coming. Yes, you understand? Thank God for the mercy of God. But listen, you don't have to live on mercy and get bailouts. You can live prepared for anything the devil starts throwing at you. And you do it not whenever you need the preparations to be made. You do it beforehand. Amen. Are you out there? Amen. And so you have to renew your mind and practice casting down thoughts of lack and failure. whenever you don't have to cast down thoughts of lack and failure, because you don't have any lack. But the enemy will come with thoughts. You understand what I'm talking about? And so you have to practice these things that make us a success. Practice following the inner witness. And that's what you've been doing. Now, I'm not preaching like you haven't been doing it. This congregation has been doing that. And so you've been tithing. You've been obeying. You've been doing the will of God. You know, you walked in the light. You've been walking in the light as it comes. The more light you get, the more you walk in it. And so you've been practicing all these things. What have you been doing? You've been building your foundation for any kind of storm that would come. You understand, just like this man, he built his foundation before the storm came, this wind, rain, and so forth came. He was already built, he was already established on something immovable when everything out here was moving. And that's what's going on in our nation right now. Everything out here is moving, and people are getting afraid, except those who were prepared. Yes. You say, what do you mean prepared? Had a whole bunch of money in the bank? Well, maybe. I don't know. But I'm not talking about that kind of preparation. I'm talking about a heart preparation. Right. Having the word planted in you that causes your heart, excuse me, your heart to be fixed, trusting in the Lord. Your heart is established. Your heart is not moved with whatever's trying to move it. Amen. This is good preaching. I'm just so thankful I came to church tonight. So, you're building your foundation for divine prosperity that lasts right through tough times. There's no better time to prosper than through a time like this. Amen. Hallelujah. You're building, see, listen to me very carefully. What you're doing is building a different kind of prosperity into your life. You're building one that's eternal. You're building one not based on financial conditions. You're building one built on an imperishable seed, the Bible talks about, the Word of God. God's Word that lives and abides forever. That's over there in that book in 1 Peter, I believe, 1 or 2 Peter, I don't remember. But remember it says, "Who you're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God lives and abides forever." Everything you build in life can be built on that incorruptible, imperishable, living and abiding forever seed that doesn't change with circumstances. Amen? And so your financial condition, amen, listen to me very carefully, your position in Christ, being that he was made poor and therefore you are rich, your financial condition, rich, cannot be taken from you when you lose your job, because it wasn't your job that gave you that condition. Amen. Amen. It wasn't that job that put you in that condition. It was the word that got in you that made you rich on the inside. Amen. And that's what accomplishes the richness. The word does. The truth of God's word built into your spirit. Remember we quoted Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be. It goes forth out of my mouth. It'll not return unto me void. It'll accomplish that which I please. What does he please? Prosperity. He has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. It'll accomplish prosperity. It did it. You didn't do it. It did it. The word did it. The word getting in you did it. The word planted in your heart, watered, meditated on, practiced, exercised, walked in the light of. Amen. That renews your mind. That you take and you can answer thoughts whenever they say anything else. Whenever you've practiced that, lived that, day in, day out, month in, month out, year in, year out, you've been building your financial prosperity foundation on the rock that doesn't sway whenever everything around you is swaying. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what you have done. Then neither the storms nor the tests and trials in life, the needs that arise, the enemy, the curse, nor the economy wavering can, or you losing your job or something like that, can rob you of that condition that you are in, called divine prosperity, divine financial prosperity. Because it's not based on any of that. It's not based on the economy. It's not based on your job. Amen. Listen, you can lose your job and get a better one. If that's what happened, you lost something, then you can get a better one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm preaching pretty good. Amen. So here's an example of something that because remember I said, let me say that again. I want to just make sure you caught what I said. That as you've been practicing this word, as you've been doing Matthew chapter number 7, as you've been taking this word and building a foundation for a kind of prosperity that doesn't shake in the storm, doesn't shake, you physically whenever there's disease going around either. But I'm talking about the financial side of it tonight. When you've been doing that, you've been opening the door for God to begin to set things up for what's coming. He knows what's coming. He knew this was coming. You and I might not have known what was coming, but He knows coming. Amen. And He had us get ready. I'm thinking of something. Teresa actually was saying this today, and I had thought about it before she said it, but she said it first. She said, you know, Pastor Jay, this is really neat. There's so many things that we have just put in place in the last 6-8 months, I guess, that prepared the church for this season. I said, yeah, I was thinking about the same thing. How we've been being prepared. You know, sometimes you're almost unconsciously led. Do you know what I'm talking about? Just take, for example, the text to give thing. A lot of you are starting to do that. Well, we had that set up months before it really hit where we really needed it. And here was God. But I've talked to churches, bless their heart. I mean, you know, we help them if we can. People ask, how do we do it? And we help them. Here's how you get it set up. Here's who to call and so forth. Get the text and gift set up. But see, you know, they're you know, running to catch up. Well, we've just listened to the Holy Ghost. And He got us ready ahead of time. He got us in position ahead of time. And there's several little things like that. We can see that the last few months. How God's gotten us ready. You know, God will always have you ahead of the devil if you walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. In other words, your flesh doesn't want to meditate in the Word. Your flesh doesn't want to go to church. You know what I mean? Coming and hearing the Word. Your flesh doesn't want to. But when you do what your Spirit wants, even when your flesh doesn't, you're getting ready, and the devil, God's keeping you ahead of anything the devil's wanting to throw at you. Now that's good preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everywhere and in every place, you can live in complete victory. Excellence in faith means you do everything God says and you're always ahead of the devil. Always ahead of the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. You're the head and not the tail. How many of you know God got the plan of redemption was big enough to keep us from having to chase or follow around behind the devil using our faith to clean up all his messes? Do you know what's something better that God has for us than following the devil around cleaning up behind his messes? Is that we be ahead of the mess and be prepared for it. And when other people hit hard times, we help them in their messes. Yeah. Woo! Glory be to God. What a light! What a sign! And that's exactly what we're doing right now. Hallelujah! You see, God has so much more for the believer. So much more for the believer. We ought to be so far independent of what the devil does that it's embarrassing for him. Amen. And it ought to be so disappointing to him that everything he throws at us to take us down, we use it to gain ground and take ground. Man, that's got to be frustrating to a loser like the devil. But I'm just here to make him feel it every single day. Yeah, I got an attitude about it. You're exactly right. I got an attitude. I got an attitude of spirit of faith. And I'm not going to be following the devil around cleaning up. I'm just going to just keep on ruling and reigning and treading him down. And he's got nothing in me. Nothing. No power over me. Nothing in me belongs to him. I don't have wrong thinking in me. I don't got, you know, and we're getting all those things washed out. If we keep walking in that, yeah, I mean, he just can't get a thing on us. Hallelujah. I want you to know it pays to sit under the Word. It changes your future. It changes the outcome of all these circumstances. Listen, if you're sitting hearing me tonight, and because we're going to be sharing some good testimonies. I'm thinking of a couple right now. They're by a decree and proclamation of the governor, they had to shut down their business. And it looked bad. Just the end of last week looked bad. Didn't look possible. Now here we are at Wednesday, and by the end of the day yesterday, it didn't look bad. It looked wonderful. And now they're volunteering time because we asked them if they wanted to work at the daycare. They said, nope, everything's taken care of financially. I'm going to volunteer in days. Are you out there listening to this preacher? I'm talking about victory. That's what I'm talking about. I am not signing up for the trouble in our nation right now. I have chosen my exemption. And how I've chosen it is by preparing myself for these very kinds of times. And listen, we have compassion on people. And listen, I'll say this. If this is not, we're hearing some of these testimonies, hearing how things are going here at the church and so forth. If that's not your testimony right now, don't let these good testimonies discourage you. But that's not what these things are intended to do. They're not intended to condemn anybody. They're not intended to put anybody down, make you feel like a failure. No, just understand, we've had years to take this and to wash these things out of us, these wrong thinking, things that gives place to falling prey to the enemy's strategies and so forth. And we've been able to get a lot of things out. We're still working on it. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect in following the Holy Ghost. I'm not perfect in doing the Word. But I'm much further long than I have ever been in my life. And boy, is it paying off richly. Amen. And that's what I told this one couple, that their business just looked like it was going to go under. It just looked like there was no way. And all of a sudden, they had this financial miracle. Amen. I told them, I said, listen to me. I said, the momentum of you all for all these, because it's been a couple of decades now, of just sticking with the Word whenever you didn't understand why it wasn't working, you didn't, and you kept washing yourself with the water of the Word. All the momentum of all those years is starting to catch up with you. I said, you're in for a ride. You better get a hold of your faith hats. I said, because you're going to start seeing the momentum right now. It's going to start kicking in, and you're going to start seeing miracle after miracle because you've been sticking with it, and that's what you've been doing. You've been sitting here, sticking with it, practicing it. When it wasn't working, saying, God, I know it's not on your end, it's on my end. Help me to see what's not working, why it's not working. Amen. Do you realize, and so those testimonies are not to discourage you. Do you realize that those testimonies are really, they're designed to help encourage you? And so don't take it negative. Realize what's available to you. Don't get discouraged. Say, look at what's available to me. Amen. See, we are not condemn anybody because we've all been to the same place. I'm telling you the truth about it. We have been at the same place. It's just not working, and I don't know why. But listen very carefully. All right, I'm getting wrapped. Won't be long here. I'll be wrapping this up. Think about something here. Think about, my. I didn't get very far in what I planned to say, but God had things to say. Listen with me. Let me go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 10. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Paul said, I long to see you, see your face, and perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Amen. I long to see you. I long to see your face, in other words, that I might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Somebody said, well, I don't want to be, I don't want to have any areas of imperfection in my faith. Well, we all do. Where none of us have arrived yet. Yet, on the other hand, here's what I want you to see. Let's think about another verse, Hebrews 12, verse number 2. Jesus is called in Hebrews 12:2, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author and the finisher. One translation says the source and the perfecter. Do you realize whenever you're born again, you got dealt the measure of faith? But whenever you keep walking with the Lord, He will perfect what He gave you. He'll help you get the dross out of it. You know what I mean by the dross out of it? It's like faith in the fire. Faith going through tests and trials, the Bible says, is like gold in the fire. It gets the dross out. Amen. Tests and trials are wonderful opportunities to get the dross out. Amen. Use what the devil meant to destroy you to practice what you know and get the dross out. Amen. And so what he's talking about, I don't know if you're catching all this, but in Hebrews 12:2, Jesus is the author or the source and the perfecter of our faith. So if you'll walk with Him, He'll keep bringing your faith to perfection through washing you with the water of the Word. And what happens is you get to the place where you're not lacking as many things. You understand? Matthew 10:21, there was a young man came to Jesus, said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, keep the commandments, and thou shalt not kill." He said, "I've done all these things from my youth." And Jesus said, looked at him with compassion and said, "One thing, you're close. One thing you lack. Take what you have, sell what you have, give it to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me." And the man walked away sad at that, saying he couldn't do it. In other words, one thing you got to do here yet. And then he said, get your faith out of your money. That's all he was trying to have that man do. He wasn't telling us all. He wants us to have a vow of poverty. It's just in order to get that man's faith out of his money, that's the only way to get it out. That doesn't have to be that way for everybody. Nor do we have Jesus telling everybody they had to do that. Amen. But he told that man. In other words, one thing you lack is you got your faith in your money yet. One thing. That man only had one thing. He was one step away. Listen to that. One step away from being perfected and having exactly what he was looking for. His faith manifestation manifested. One step away. One thing thou lackest. He just had to take one more step. Woo, glory to God. And he had to get his faith out of his money, get his faith over in the kingdom of God. He was almost there, but he quit. You see what that man did? The Bible said he went away sad. He quit. Don't do that. So many of us, things are working better than they have because we're not lacking as many things. Our minds aren't thinking wrong in so many areas. You understand what I'm talking about? And things are starting to click. I'm telling you what, just keep on going. Just keep on going. Keep taking those steps he's leading you, and your faith is getting perfected. And the more it's perfected, the better it produces fruit. Hallelujah. And in times like this, as we keep on going, these things don't affect us as much. We're able to bear fruit right in the middle of times like this. Just like, remember I said on Wednesday, what is it? Sunday, I believe it was, that Abraham's covenant and Isaac's covenant worked in the middle of a famine. Worked in the middle of feeding cows in a pasture with no grass. You know? And he prospered right in the middle of that. Woo, what about in the middle of coronavirus? What about the middle of the economy in the United States shut down for 2 whole weeks now, whatever it's been? So many stores closed and places closed and stuff happening. Well, you can prosper right in the middle of it. Woo, glory be to God. Just keep on walking. Like I told that couple, I said, you've been purging yourself in the Word for all these years. And I said, you better get a hold of your faith hats because you're getting ready to see some miraculous. The momentum's building. Hallelujah. That's what you've been doing all these years sitting here at church. The momentum is building. The momentum of faith. You've been developing in faith and developing how to act on it whenever bad times are there and whenever there are good times. You're just a word person, good or bad. Hallelujah. And times like these can, through this perfecting of your faith, become an opportunity, really. Can you say amen? And to get more of whatever's lacking out. In other words, if you're lacking a renewed mind in this area, get some of that old thinking out. And so God didn't send these things to do that. He's giving you, Satan really is trying to do these things to try to destroy people, try to destroy the church. But so don't misunderstand me about that. But the reason at times like this you can take ground actually is because at times like this, human nature is that people get serious about doing what they know to do. You understand? If you really know what to do, right now's the time to do it. Right now's the time to do it. It's not a time to back out. It's not a time to start bad-mouthing, saying, what are we going to do? It's not a time to change your confession. It's not a time to stop tithing. It's not a time to stop giving. It's not a time to stop looking for somebody else to buy their groceries for them. Amen. Now's the time to just keep on, just press in. And I'm telling you what, now's the time to take some ground. I said, now's the time to take some ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Human nature is such that people don't really get serious until they have to sometimes. Well, now you have to. So many cases out there, now people have to. And so don't miss this opportunity. The devil, he didn't mean it, but he's given you an opportunity. He's given you an opportunity. Brother Hagin said the things used to come along in his life, and people would say, what are you going to do? And he said, we're going to believe God. And he would go to God, Father, thank you for another opportunity to believe God. Thank you for another opportunity. The devil didn't mean it that way, but that's the way you can turn it on him. I said, that's the way you can turn it on him. Hallelujah. Another opportunity to practice the word and get your faith. Get it clicking on all cylinders. I mean, that thing is working. You got it going. And things are starting to work for you. Hallelujah. You almost want to say poor devil. Although I'm not going to say it. Because I don't feel bad for him at all. He gets everything he deserves whenever he loses in our life. But thank God for the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Make sure what the devil's throwing at you, you make him eat it. I said, make sure you make him eat it. Amen. Make what he's throwing at you work for you. He's trying to destroy you. God's not sending this to try to destroy you. God's not sending this to teach you faith. He didn't send this. God's not involved in coronavirus. God's not involved in economic shaking, shutting down businesses. He's not involved in that at all. But the devil's doing it. If it's him, make him eat it. Use your faith and steamroll him right now. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the aptitude of the people of God. Okay, I got to wrap this up by Psalm 1. I'm almost done. I don't know what time I started preaching. I think I preached long on Sunday, but we'll just be done here in another minute. Look here in Psalm chapter number 1. Psalm chapter 1 is talking about, oh, this passage is so good. Praise the Lord. Psalm chapter number 1. No wonder, I'm in Proverbs, that's why. Go back to Psalm chapter 1. Verse number 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the way of sinners, sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate whenever there's not coronavirus. Huh? Oh, no. Day and night. All the time. Amen. Then he said in verse number 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Now I looked that up one day just to see what judgment meant, and I was shocked and blessed actually at the same time. It meant crises. In the crises of life, the ungodly, he said here, the wind drives them away. In other words, that crisis drives them out of existence, out of business, out of succeeding, out of prosperity, out of health, out of whatever. He said, that's the ungodly. He said, that's not the way of the righteous. He said, therefore, the ungodly shall, verse number 5, the ungodly shall not stand in the crisis, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. That's his ways. His ways are our ways. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. The way they go about things, they're going under. Not me. Amen. But see, what is he saying? This man who gets to walk in a different outcome in the crises of life. This man is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, in the way sinners go about things. But his delight's in the word. And he says, here's what happens. Can you give me a minute? I'm almost done. Whenever he meditates in that word day and night, he's like a tree, he said, planted by the rivers of water. Now that in the King James doesn't stand out unless you read it in the Hebrew and then some other translations. Rather than planted, it can also be translated transplanted by the rivers of water. The rivers of water in the Hebrew doesn't mean, you know, you go out in the woods and you find a creek of water and there's a tree growing by. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the word rivers of water in the Hebrew literally means divided water channels dug in a garden that is irrigated. That's talking about irrigation channels when you look it up in the Hebrew. And so he's talking about a tree that has been transplanted from some other place into someone's garden. Somebody's taken care of this tree. Oh, my, 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 my. This tree was loved. This tree was brought into somebody's private garden, put right by an irrigation channel, planted where there's always a full supply. Somebody's always watching over it to kick the bugs off of it. Somebody's always checking to see if it's got any disease on it. It's going to spray it down. Somebody's taking care of this tree. This tree has been transplanted into somebody's private garden, and it's got a full supply of water all the time. When other trees are drought stricken, when other trees are going through drought, this tree is flourishing and brings forth his fruit in his season. And listen, it's always producing because it's always got the water. Somebody's watching over it. Now, somebody said, that's me. I'm transplanted into the Lord's garden. Well, there's even a further revelation. Yes, you have been, but there's even a further revelation. This man that got this transplanting, that had this happen to him, it was because of what he did. What did he do? He meditates in the Word day and night. In other words, he chose by what he was meditating on to be transplanted into this place that's always watered. I'm not living listening to the news right now. I've tuned it out. You say you've tuned it out. I just look at there have been a couple articles in the last week or so I've read, but mostly I'm just looking at headlines, see if there's anything I need to know. Because I have decided to get transplanted over where there's no coronavirus and where there's no shaking in the economy. Right here, meditating in this Word. And what happens when I do that? I bring forth fruit when others are going under. Yes. Now, I know that sounds mean. You might say, well, don't you have compassion on them? We're helping them. We're helping them in the daycare. We're being a blessing. That's what Christianity is all about, being a blessing. But see, listen, you can't do that if you yourself don't get planted in a different place. You got to get planted in a well-watered garden where you're... See, how do you do that? Through meditation. It's what is your attention on? What are you listening to? How much of the news you got tuned into? And how much of this are you tuned into? This is where you're going to get the water to bring forth your fruit in the season. Your leaf doesn't even wither. In the middle of coronavirus, in the middle of economic shaking, you don't even see a withered leaf on your prosperity tree. You don't even see a withered leaf on your physical body. Your health is not even a bit withered. Amen. Amen. I know there's people out there that don't like it because you're saying you think you're better than everybody else. I don't think I'm better than anybody. I think the Word of God's better than what people are allowing it to do for them. I just decided to tune it out. Back in 2008, this nation went through what they called a recession or something like that, a great recession, something like that. I refused to join. I said, I'm tuning that out. I'm going to prosper. And I did right through it. Hallelujah. Let's do it right now. What do you say? Let's tune in to this. This is what makes us water. This is what nourishes us. This is what keeps us up when others are going down. And guess what you can do when you're watered and well taken care of? You can feed other people. You can bless other people. And you can help them. And show them not just, you know, like somebody said, don't just, there's something better than just handing a man a fish so he can eat every day. There's something better called handing him the answer, like a fishing pole, you know, showing him how to eat on his own every day. And you can show people, this is where I do it. This is where I get the strength. This is where I see abiding in this vine, abiding in him. I'm getting the nourishment flowing into me to be able to keep on producing right in the middle of coronavirus, right in the middle of economic shaking. Amen.